You're listening to the Island Church Podcast. If you'd like more information or to donate to this ministry, visit islandchurch.tv.
Good morning, everyone. I am glad you are here on this day. This is an exciting morning. And thank you for coming and sharing and being a part. We believe the best is yet to come. Wasn't that an awesome worship experience today? Wow. And I believe God has a good word for us. Let me just quickly make mention of this. We had an awesome week. We rearranged Iron Man to Tuesday night and had a fish fry. With Shrimp Festival happening. We took it off of Thursday and family night, put it on Tuesday. We were packed for our Iron Man experience. That was an awesome thing. Wednesday, we kicked off our Bible studies, and this room, I'm telling you, retreat fired some people up, let me tell you. And this room was filled with ladies for their Bible study, and guys, we had a good number upstairs. And so there's still opportunity on Wednesday night, ladies meeting here. And I believe they had 80, 90 ladies that were a part in the sanctuary here. And then upstairs, we had a good number of guys. We'd love for you to join with us on that. Thursday night, we did our annual Shrimp Fest quest endeavor outing and took the kids, took grandkids, and went and got our Cajun pistol. And man, I think it was the best one I ever had. We've all said that. It was just awesome. And then had our coconut shrimp and fried Oreo. And if you've never had one, don't be quick to judge. It's pretty amazing. I have two grandkids that they have never really been able to have sugar, or they restrict them from having, you know, a lot of sugar and Coke and things. And of course, when they stay with Papa, I say, "Freddie, wouldn't you like to have a Coke?" And he goes, "Oh, Papa, I can't. We just drink water at our house." And I said, "I'm so sorry." But I mean, man, I try to give it to him, and he won't. But at Shrimp Fest, he grabbed a hold of a lemonade, and he would not let it go. And I bought some cotton candy, and this is true. And I looked at his mom and dad, and they go, "Okay." And I said, "Freddie, take some of this." And he put it in his mouth, and his eyes, he looked up at me, and his eyes were like, "This is good." And then he looked at me, and he goes, "It's magical." And I said, "Yes, it is, buddy. It is." Well, I don't mean magical in a mystical, weird, stored away, but this is a magical day. It's a wonderful day. I am so thankful for what God's doing right here at the Island Church, and that you're a part of this. And who knows what God might want to do in and through our lives here today. Amen? Amen. We're looking at the book of John. And as we walk through the book of John, we're talking about and looking at John's perspective. John was Jesus' best friend. And he gives us insight that no one else gives us. Up to 90% of what he's talking about, we find only from him. And he helps us to have even a greater understanding. When people come to know Christ, we often tell them, read the book of John. It familiarizes us with Christ. And it is an amazing, amazing book. And it's like every time we read it, every passage we come to, it's like 21st century living. It's like it's just hot off the press, just for us, right where we're at. Today, we're looking at this theme that Jesus is, he is light and he is life. We talked a little bit about light last week. We're gonna hit that a little bit, and we're gonna talk about the life that Jesus is. Now, there's quite a few verses, so they'll have them on the screen for you, and I'll do my best to read it the best that I can, but I think there's value in us reading through this, and then we'll go back through and look at the various verses that are here. So John chapter 8, and begin reading in verse number 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. I am the light of the world. Can we declare that together? I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, you are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. I love this. For I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. Don't you love that? Because see, the great questions of life, who am I? Where did I come from? Where am I going? And the answer is in Jesus. Aren't you thankful we follow someone who knows who they are, know where they came from, know where they're going, amen? And so that's what he's declaring there. I know who I am, I know where I came from, and I know where I'm going, but you do not know where I come from or where I'm going. You judge according to the flesh, I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true, For it is not I alone who judges, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, therefore, where is your Father? And Jesus answered, you know neither my Father, me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. Now let's continue going. So there's light. Now let's talk about life. And he said to them, I am going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Remember that phrase. You will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself since he says where I'm going, you cannot come? And he said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about his Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as my Father taught me, and he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do that which is pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. Wow. That is one of the most powerful and one of the most impacting passages of scripture that you're going to find in your Bible. Jesus is talking about how to really have life. He's talking about how to break free from religion. He's talking about how he is light and he is life. There are many names for God in the Bible, but one of the most powerful names of God is this phrase, is this name, I am. When Jesus says I am, he is making a point and he is speaking into their religious minds. Because when he said, I am, it wasn't new to them. They related quickly to the fact that he was talking about Moses. He was talking about the call of God on Moses. And when Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? God's lifting up, ordaining Moses to bring the children of Egypt or children of Israel out of Egypt. Who will I say sent me? And in Exodus 3 and verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said this, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And so he's saying, listen, I was God, I am God, I'm always gonna be God. And they struggled with these statements. They struggled with what the Lord was saying. He uses I am numerous times, 45 times. Jesus refers to I am. There are 7 instances where Jesus says, I am something or someone. In chapter 6, we looked at the fact that Jesus said, I am the bread of life, that which sustains you. Now he's saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. Where there's light, there is life. Light and light are connected. Light and life and light, both ways, they are connected. I want us to remember this, Jesus' light overcomes darkness. Jesus' light overcome darkness. Man does not possess light in and of himself. We are born in darkness, we live in darkness, and until we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, our life is filled with darkness. Darkness represents unregenerated man, unsaved man. It represents fear. It represents evil. But when Jesus comes, he brings light to our life. Man does not possess light. It's not in his nature. Man is delivered from darkness. And we need light to continually shine upon us. That's why it's important to maintain a relationship. It's not just that I get light one time. I gotta keep the light on. And the world's constantly trying to turn the light off, take us back to darkness, but God keeps shining his light. It's important that we nurture that in our life. Darkness, I love this, is subject to light. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness couldn't overcome it. That scripture, we sang about it today. I love that second song that we sang. Luke wrote that song in light of this series back when we were in John chapter 1. And I asked him if he would sing it today. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness can't overcome it. Amen. So when I receive Christ, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When I receive Christ, light is greater than darkness. Amen. Oh, I love that. You see, darkness has always been that which tries to permeate and cover. In the beginning, darkness covered the face of the earth. But the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and God said, let there be light. And there was light, and God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. Let there be light. And so light overcame darkness. How about John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's in reference to Genesis that we just read in Genesis 1, 3 through 5. In him was, say it with me, life. And the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Amen. See, God gave us the S-U-N to overcome darkness in this world in a literal way. And God gave us the S-O-N, the Son, to overcome darkness in our spiritual life. Son, S-U-N, to overcome darkness. Son, S-O-N, to overcome darkness. God gave us the light so we don't have to live in the dark. Amen? What does light do? I'll quickly go through this. Number one, it illuminates. It illuminates. In that day, at this great feast, it was the Feast of Tabernacles, and a part of the Feast of Tabernacles, and the Bible says he was standing near the treasury. The Jews celebrated a ritual in that festival called the Temple Illumination. There were four poles that were set, and those four poles were literally 70 feet tall. They had 5 gallon containers at the top of them. The priest would take their old clothes, put them together, and make wicks. And the young priest would climb up that 70-foot pole, and they would light those four corners. And it was said that that light would light up the temple area, 37 acres of temple area, but light up throughout all of Jerusalem. It's believed that it was at that moment, according to scripture, it was at the feast that Jesus stands by one of these light poles, and he's saying this. He's saying, I know what you're doing with these lights. I know this commemorates the fact that God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt. And there was a pillar of fire at night, and there was a cloud to lead by day. But I'm here to tell you that now I'm the answer. I am the light of the world. And if you'll follow me, you will not walk in darkness. What a picture. Jesus' timing is absolutely impeccable, isn't it? Think about the feast that he was at. And every day, we just went through it. And every day the priests would come out and they would pour the water out and they would say scripture and make declarations. But on the last day of the feast, they wouldn't do that. And it was on the last day of the feast that Jesus steps up, when they would usually pour out the water and make the declaration. And Jesus makes this statement, that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. If you'll drink from the waters that I give you, I'm talking about a living water. I'm talking about the Spirit of God. Again, his timing, right in the middle of their religious ceremony. Now, again, right in the middle of their religious ceremony, I am the light of the world. What is Jesus doing? He's confronting religion. He's confronting just simply the ritual, that there's greater meaning to what is happening. And now that the Messiah has come, things are changing. Every Sunday, it seems like almost every Sunday, I stand here and I say to you, it's not whether you're Baptist or Lutheran or Episcopalian, Methodist, Catholic, Charismatic, Assembly of God, Jewish. It's not. Well, this is what, you know, we've always been Methodist, and my grandpa was Methodist. We've always been Catholic, grandpa and great-great-grandpa. What I'm saying to you is it's not what we've always been. I'm telling you that Jesus is the light and the life of man. I'm telling you that you can have living water and out of your innermost being flow the rivers of living water, that you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We welcome the Holy Spirit. We preach from the Word of God. We talk about Jesus. Jesus illuminates his Word. The Spirit convicts our heart. If you're here and you don't know the Lord and you read the Bible, you can't totally get it. Because we read it, there's a darkness about it. We might get it, we might understand principles, but it's not living. But there's something about Jesus, and he illuminates his Word. And I've heard time and time and time again, people say, I was reading the Bible, and it was like someone turned the light on. It's Jesus illuminating. It's Jesus bringing alive. I've lived with the Lord most of my life. Today, as I read God's Word, there's something about it. and I still come to passage after passage after passage that I've read time and time and time again, and all of a sudden it's like the light comes on. Why? Because Jesus is the one who brings light to my life, to his word. Amen? Yeah. We need him to illuminate. He makes sense out of life. Not only does he illuminate, he exposes. And I've got a hustle here, but he exposes. Light exposes. You know, we used to have... We've just had this nice, beautiful carpet that's in here for a couple of years now. Two and a half years. Archie here helped me to take up the old carpet. The old carpet didn't have anything on the back. It was just fabric glued down. The people taking the carpet up just looked at us. We can't get it up. Archie said, I got an idea, Pastor. I think those doors will come off. Let's get a bobcat in here and let's see if we can't tear it up with a bobcat. And we did. Took a bobcat to get it up, didn't it? And 2 days. Their idea was to put water all over it. My idea was set it on fire. But you know, people used to say, Pastor, it's so dark in the sanctuary. And we've got more illumination and LED lights now and it's brighter, but it's so dark. Oh, I'm so sorry, but really I was glad it was dark because new people come in. I didn't want to see how dirty the carpet was. We clean and clean and clean it, but man, those stains came right back through. Light illuminates. Listen, light illuminates the sin in our life. The sin in our life. Seems like people are always interested in other people's sin, but God wants to expose ours. Listen closely to this. For nothing, Mark 4:22, nothing is hidden except to be made manifest. For nothing is hidden except to be made manifest, nor is anything secret except it come to light. Wow. God exposes. What would you think if right now on this big screen, all the actions of your life, the thoughts of your life, the words of your life, they were all up there for everyone to see? Be rather embarrassing for me. You wouldn't want me to be your pastor. God has a way of exposing us. Before he exposes us to the world, I believe he gives us multiple opportunities of grace when he shines his light on us to come to an altar of repentance. That's why I believe that it's so important that if you feel conviction in your heart, if you feel conviction in your heart, saved or unsaved, I would come to an altar to say, God, I would step forward. I'd bury my pride to step forward and say, God, have mercy on me. Before you have to expose me to the world, humiliate me, I would rather humble myself before God and say, God, help me. Help me. Have mercy. Forgive me. You said if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me. I am glad that light exposes, and conviction is a wonderful thing, and repentance leads to revival. Someone say amen. That is all the grace of God. You eventually, in this life or on judgment day, it'll all be exposed. But God, by his mercy, exposes us and shines a light and convicts us, not to humiliate us, not to destroy us, but so that he might have fellowship. If he's exposing areas of your life, it's his grace. He loves you. He loves you. Respond. Respond to him. Amen? Amen. See, here's what happens. We get spiritually proud and we get arrogant. And I'm thankful. Boy, and I can tell when I start getting a little bit upright about things, and God has a way of nudging me to take away the arrogance and take away spiritual swagger. Because I'm going to tell you something, arrogance and spiritual swagger will never win the world to Jesus. In fact, the world is repulsed by our holier than thou spiritual tone, condescending. But if we're humble before God and we know, except by the grace of God, there go I need God. There's something about humility And I believe that's what it was that drew people to Jesus. They saw a man of authority, but they saw a man of humility. We can be people of authority, but we must be people of humility. And that's what comes when the light that exposes us hits us. Search me, O God, know my thoughts. And then, of course, his light guides us. How about this? How about this? Jesus gives us life. Jesus gives us life. You might write down beside that, life conquers death. Life conquers death. Jesus had been talking to them and he's telling them about who he is and about how his father speaks, and he comes to please his father. The scribes and the Pharisees didn't understand it. They had already made their minds up that he was a religious imposter. So Jesus gives us, in these last verses, gives us two powerful, powerful truths that I want to wrap this up with. And here it is. We are drawn to the cross to receive life. We are drawn to the cross to receive life. Or the cross draws us. The cross draws us. Jesus knew he was going to the cross. He knew he was going to be buried in a grave. He knew that he was going to be raised from the dead, and he knew that he was going to return to heaven. And he told them, he said, I'm going away and you will seek for me and you will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot go. Fascinating. Fascinating. Three times. Understand this. If Jesus repeats something over and over and over, he's wanting us to take note of it. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so much must the Son of Man be lifted up. How about this? John 8 and verse 28. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I knew nothing of my own authority, but speak just as my Father taught me. I can't help but think about the Roman guard. Surely he is the Son of God. When he saw all that was happening at the cross. How about this? John chapter 12. And when I am lifted up from earth, I will draw all people to myself. And he said this to show what kind of death he was going to die. In hindsight, it almost seems absurd that a Jewish rabbi would predict that he would be crucified, and as a result of that execution, he would draw people to himself. Sounds crazy. But if you're here today and you love the Lord, you know and you love the Lord, then you have experienced the miraculous magnetism of the cross. Because as he is lifted up on the cross, mankind is drawn to him. That's why it's important that the church never stop preaching the cross and the crucifixion and the fact that Jesus took my sin on the cross of Calvary, that he who knew no sin became sin. Because of that sacrifice, you and I are saved. There's something of magnetism. Like metal shavings are drawn to a magnet, we are drawn to the cross. Isn't it fascinating that we're drawn to his death that we might receive life? That's where everything changes. Everything changes. Liz and I were privileged on a missions trip that we spoke at a conference in Cyprus to missionaries from all over the Middle East and Eurasia. And on our trip home, we stopped in Paris for just a couple of days, and we were able to go to the Louvre, and I was fascinated by the artwork. And I'm not one that, you know, stands there. I'm not a critic. I'm not educated in that way. I I'm just fascinated. But I was fascinated by the amount of artwork depicting biblical situations. And the artwork that depicted Jesus on the cross of Calvary in such a powerful, vivid way that I had never imagined or seen. Massive, massive paintings and drawings. I came across this and I thought it fascinating in light of going across the sea to experience this kind of artwork. And it's simply a statement that says this: in order to serve the Lord, you don't have to cross the sea. You only have to see the cross. And I thought, oh, how true. You don't have to go somewhere, do something. This morning, if you can just see the cross, see Jesus. Yes, I know he's the resurrected Christ, but do you recognize he took your penalty, took your death? He became sin that I might be the righteousness of God in Christ. Jesus was the light of the world, but for a short period on that day of crucifixion, the light of deity was extinguished and he hung suspended between heaven and earth. And there was a point in time in which God the Father, who cannot look at sin, had to turn away as the sins of the world were placed upon Jesus. Man rejected Christ, and the Bible says that the earth was blackened. Darkness covered the face of the earth. As he took sin, hell is real. It is a place for those who reject God's gift to spend eternity with him. It's a place of pain, it's a place of weeping, and it is a place of utter darkness and alienation from God. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Darkness was there as the penalty was paid. But today we live in this world in this time of grace, and God allows his light to shine again upon us so that he might convince us of Jesus, so we might have life and life more abundantly in him. Amen? Amen. We're drawn to the cross and it's where we receive life. And then here's the next thing. We will either die in our sin or we will die in the Lord. We will die in our sin or we will die in the Lord. Have you ever wondered how you're gonna die? I'd say most of us would just like to go to sleep in our bed and wake up in heaven. I don't relish the thought of suffering, pain. I don't suppose I get to really pick in that. I don't know when I'm gonna die and I don't know how I'm gonna die. This past week I saw on social media a friend of mine, he's a little bit older than I am, he and his wife pastor a church, and I saw where her mom just turned 102. I thought, wow, still in good health. My mom is 88, she still drives. God help us all. I don't know how that day will happen. I don't know how I will physically die. Whether it be an accident, somehow something violent happens to me, a sickness, or I just kind of wear out. I don't know. But I don't want us to see death from that physical perspective. Here's what I want us to look at, is death from a spiritual perspective. And in that case, there are only two ways a person can die. They will either die in their sin or they will die in the Lord. And Jesus told that to the religious leaders. Now watch this. Just like he said three times, I'm gonna be lifted up. Emphasis on the cross. Watch this. three times he talks about dying in our sin. John 8 and verse 21, and he said to them again, I am going away and you will seek me and you will, say it with me, die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot go. John 8 and verse 20, John 8 and verse 24, and he's, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Three times he alludes to this phrase about dying in your sin. Can I just tell you, it's easy to die in your sin? It's easy to die in your sin. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. Just do nothing. You can die in your sin. What do you have to do to go to heaven? Really nothing in another sense of the word, because the Bible says, for by grace you are saved. It is the gift of God. He paid the price for you. All we're doing is agreeing with what he's already done. All you have to do is believe and receive. Make him Lord. I receive this. Walk with you. I surrender all to have the eternal gift of life. When you come to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, it says this, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Folks, I can't predict how you're going to die. In terms of the event. But I can predict this. Either you will die in your sin or you'll die in the Lord. This whole passage, Jesus is trying to break people out of a religious mindset. They're remembering. And it's good to remember. They were remembering what God did. But he said, listen, Moses delivered then. I am the, he was a picture. He was a shadow. I am your answer. I am the light of the world. If you come to me, you're not going to walk in darkness. So today, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, you've never received him, you've not accepted him, you're not following him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus is allowing his light and life to be made manifest to you so you can have a relationship with him. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that the greatest news in all the world? Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this. It's not about our denominational background. It's not about how much money. It's not who my mom or my dad. It's not where I live, what I drive, how much money I make, how much I have in retirement. It has nothing to do with peripheral. It has everything to do. I have a relationship. He is light and he is life. I love it. He shines his light for us to see. He illuminates his word. He breathes life. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. Not just talking about a prosperous way we live in the natural. I'm talking about a prosperous way we live in the spiritual. Amen. Beloved, I wish above all things, Emily, is prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I believe in soul prosperity. How about you? I believe he wants us to be more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. We don't have to live under the circumstances. We can stand on top. If Jesus is the head and we're the body of Christ, then if we are in the storm, our feet are on the storm because we're a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you're light and life. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ, then here's a takeaway. Here's the emphasis I want you to grab a hold of, and it's this. God help us as the church to reflect the light and life of Jesus. Oh, you could have shouted there. That was good. Come on, church. He's calling us to reflect his light and life. One more time. Light and life. We're the reflection of God. Yeah. Oh, I hope you mean it. He's the sun. I'm the moon. I just reflect it. But I'm to reflect. The Bible says this, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. God, help me to be a reflector of the light and life of Christ. Because you're Lord of my life, because your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, because your spirit is illuminating, and because the Holy Spirit has empowered me to take the mission of the gospel to the world. Jesus is light and life. Amen? Amen. Lord, I love you.
Thanks for listening to the Island Church Podcast. For more information, visit islandchurch.tv.